Welcome to the Deucecast, episode 24, Tommy McLeod and the podcast of the Phoenix. I'm your host, Dave, and over here there's Mikey. Say hey, Mikey.
Howdy.
And across the table is our producer, Sean. Say hello, Sean.
Hey, peeps.
And there's Tommy. He won't say anything. He'll just wave his hand. He just waved. And up there in the noog, last but certainly not least, there's our co-host, Matt. What's going on, Matt?
Howdy, guys. How's it going?
We are doing very well now that we're finally started. We're finally going. The 24th episode of the Deucecast.
24.
The show that you know, the podcast sensation that's sweeping the nation.
You know what, Dave? I think that because this is the 24th episode, we should record for 24 hours straight.
I would love it.
Let's do it.
I feel like we've been sitting here waiting to record for 24 hours straight.
24 hours straight tonight, guys.
Yes. All right. So there's minute number one
down.
I
wasn't expecting that. Is there a way we can bring in a bedpan of some sort?
Yes. Well, yeah, because you're definitely not allowed to leave the...
I do have a cat box in here.
That's all you need.
Well, I just finished drinking some Robinson's Fruit Shoot, so I'll just pee in the bottle.
Robinson's? Is it really Robinson's?
Robinson's Fruit Shoot. Yeah, exactly. The orange drink.
Mr. Robinson's neighborhood?
It tastes like gay Minute Maid. So... You can find us all up and down the interweb on Facebook and Stitcher and iTunes and Ustream and Twitter and everywhere else as the Deucecast is all over. Of course, give us a call, 205-6269-FUN.
Hey, Sean, what have you been working on?
A little project called the Deucecast app.
Yes!
The Deuce app!
The Deucecast, yeah. Well,
the Deucecast. Deucecast.
It's set for, I'm going to submit it on Friday to the Apple Store and to the Android market. And then hopefully
the far superior Android market,
the inferior Android. Either way, I'll submit it to both. Apparently, the Android market's a little more lenient on accepting.
Sure it is.
So, that's because they'll take anything and everything.
As they
exactly.
should be. As
but,
they
free.
But so it'll probably be a few weeks before it's actually on the market. But I'm going to submit it Friday.
So, Sean, what are some things that when people download our Deucecast app, what are some things they might be able to find on our Deucecast app?
Well, you'll be able to find out bios about each of the Deucecast members. You can listen to the show. You can read the show notes.
We're accepting fan fiction for our bios, by the way.
When I saw the notes on this, I thought you meant you were going to put some sort of like a bios. Like a binary, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Mark Anthony and
like
bios. My fault. I was like, that's
that
awesome.
Mark Anthony.
No, that was...
Who was
that?
Oh, Enrique. Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah,
Enrique.
Can we get him on the show?
Might as well.
Probably.
Might as well. So, yeah. So, anyway, we got an action-packed show tonight with some patriotism thrown in on our big three. Got some great music in the Music Minute. Mike is going to be bringing in a Sportus board. And, of course, our buried treasure going way, way back to 1998. But now, let's get things started. Why don't we get things started? It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, deucetational. This is what we call the Deucecast Show. Mike, how was your week?
It was awesome, man. I had a good week. The daughter, this was her first full week of daycare, so she's acclimating okay. She did get beat up a little bit today. Another baby scratched her on the face, and you know, we've taught her not to hit back, so... You know, I guess she's just going to have to take that punch, which she did nicely. It's got a nice scratch right next to her nose. It's really, really awesome. But today I woke up to the sound of a broken
heart?
Air conditioning.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So I had to call an emergency air conditioning guy to come out. And luckily, he thinks it's just the Freon needs to refill. We've got to let all the ice. There was tons of freaking ice all over everything.
Did his truck have like a siren or anything?
No, it did not. No.
Well, good thing it was only like 70 degrees outside early this morning instead of 95.
Right. So we've turned the unit off for now. We have to let all the ice melt before he can add the Freon, apparently. I know nothing about air conditioning repair or anything like that. So that was... uncool, very, very, very uncool, and I've had to adjust my work schedule this week. I've been working from 10 to 7, so I don't know. I'm pretty exhausted because we're trying to get this whole daycare thing figured out still, but everything will be all good next week. My mom's going part-time, and she's going to be majority taking care of our daughter for the majority of
the time. That's
the way
it should be.
Yes, that is the way it should be. That's what I think, too.
Yeah. I mean, my mother-in-law is going to be doing the same thing. I smacked her around and said, woman, you take care of your grandbaby.
So, you never see her. Yeah.
She said, yes, Amasa. Yes, sir.
and then another awesome thing this week, I was able to watch one show I'm a huge Sarah Michelle Gellar fan from her Buffy days, so I watched Ringer on the CW. It looks like I'm going to like it. It's got Richard Alpert in it. It's got Elastic Man in it. So, yeah.
You mean it's got Nestor Carbonell in it?
Yeah, Nestor Carbonell and Ian Grafod, I think is that guy, or Ian Grafod. I saw that tweet.
Yon Grafod.
Elastic Man.
You tweeted and it was like, good to see SMG back on the air. And I kept thinking, BSG. I kept trying to put the pieces together. Dude,
you're obviously not a Sarah Michelle Gellar fan if you don't know what SMG means. Sorry.
I am going to start watching Buffy this week, though. I've decided to pick up season one and kind of go through it and see if I can get through it.
You got to stick with it. And you're going to want to quit. You just got to have to stay because it's some ways like watching the lowest budget show ever.
It's kind of like watching Sons of Anarchy. You don't want to watch it, but you kind of have to stick with it. So
no,
I get it.
False. No, it's the opposite of that. I'll just tell you this. It was probably two seasons before I saw a car. That's how low budget the show is. Like they couldn't even afford to have a car on
it. It's all right. That's fine. You gotta save money some places, but
no, it's okay. I mean, it's not a bad show.
Ringer looks like it's gonna be pretty cool because it's gonna have a mystery. It's not procedural in any way. It's gonna have a mythology and a mystery going on. So it's the type of show that I enjoy. So I'm gonna stick with it. The first episode was pretty strong, so we'll see where it goes from there. It apparently got some pretty good numbers, so got some good viewers, so hopefully it'll keep on going. But with the CW, you really never know. But Matt, how'd your week go, buddy?
It was a bit mixed. Very shortly after we got finished with the Deucecast last Wednesday night, I went and, I kind of wind down afterwards before I go to bed because I get so worked up,
That's right. That's right.
And I laid down on the couch and fell asleep, brought my computer in there, had my phone in there. Pretty much every electronic device in the house, it seemed like, was on our coffee table. And one of our cats knocked over a bottle warmer that Stephanie had left sitting out. She didn't mean to. I mean, she typically would never do it. It just happened to be left out, and it just had water in it. And it got all over everything. And it's somehow my computer is perfectly fine. My Mac, just probably because it's a Mac and it's awesome.
And it's not but, Android.
My phone, the battery got ruined. And Stephanie and I both have Android phone, or Droids. She has Droid 1. I have Droid 2. So I spent all day Thursday trying to find a freaking Droid battery in town, and I could hardly find one. I had to end up going to Radio Shack and paying $60 to get a Droid battery. Dang. So and so far that battery has been really short. All the battery life has been really pathetic. So I found on Amazon, because we couldn't go without it for a day at all because we don't have a home phone. It's our only way. I mean, it's for emergencies or whatever. So I found on Amazon they had a Droid battery that's the exact model of the one that comes with it that's $2. So I ordered one of those. So we'll see if it works. If it works, I'll take the one back to Radio Shack and see. But
sweet.
But as far as how that stuff goes, we got a sick cat that's been sick for a long time, and he may not be much longer in this world. Possibly now that we've. Now that we got a baby, it's just, our priorities have shifted so much and,
So you're just going to kill the cat?
I mean,
your priorities have shifted?
Well, if it's the choice of having Nora crawl around and pick up a pile of, cat bile covering cat vomit and eat it or not, then yeah.
Well, it will help her immune system. I will give you that.
Just one piece of advice. Kill the cat on your own. Don't let the vet do it because they'll charge you a buttload. So just snap its neck, throw it in the back.
Well, I've made some calls, and and our vet would not
hiring a hitman,
an arm and a leg.
Okay, that's good.
But anyway, so we don't know. I mean, he's still around, so we'll see. What ends up.
You could find some kid in the neighborhood $20, and they'll take care of it for you. I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, especially the neighborhood.
Well, it's got kidney failure. So he needs medical treatments. Otherwise, he's going to keep doing this stuff.
Well, then just don't give him medical treatment.
Oh, so he's
solve that problem.
He's like Osama. Osama had kidney issues.
He's
also
just like Osama bin Laden.
Is your cat walking around with like a colostomy bag on his side, dragging behind him,
hiding in caverns?
I think the cat has to pee. Yeah, definitely has to pee because there's the bag.
The sad thing is, he's a really young cat. I mean, he's only like 4 years old, and he's the best cat we've ever had. So he comes when you call him. Like he'll come like from wherever in the house. He'll come and find you, and when you call him by name.
Can you walk him on a leash?
No. He's very timid.
He holds him by the colostomy bag.
Yeah, the colostomy bag doesn't work. But as far as media viewing goes, Netflix. We decided to watch the first couple episodes of Running Wild. You know,
bad show.
Watched the first two episodes, and
yeah,
it was trying so hard to be Arrested Development.
It really was,
and
it really was.
It's not good.
Doesn't it have what's his name in it? Will Arnett,
and that other guy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, him too. Yeah,
it's got that other.
It's got a lot of guys in it, and a couple girls.
You know what though? I did my favorite thing about that show, and I don't remember where the guy's from, but Will Arnett's friend, the other millionaire.
Yeah.
I thought that dude was pretty funny.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember where he was from, though. I thought I'd seen him in a Brendan Fraser movie at one point.
I grabbed a couple of movies on Blu-ray. Of course, I'm in preparation for getting Star Wars coming Friday.
That's right.
Which I will be getting probably as soon as whichever store I decided to get it at opens. But Best Buy has like this awesome game trade-in deal right now where if you pre-buy a game, if you put down $5, you get 40% additional trade credit. Toward whatever, and their trade values are the best.
They must be hurting if they're giving that kind of stuff away.
I think it's just basically to trump GameStop. I really think it is. I think it's just to try to be like, look, we know we're awesome, GameStop. You know, we're gonna sell more games than you.
Yeah,
and that's all you do. So anyway, I got enough trade credit. I grabbed Thor on Blu-ray, and I grabbed X-Men last Friday. So I got to do a second viewing on both of those movies. And Thor, I actually think I liked as much or better the second time. Like I really, the color, like the level of colorfulness and brightness, like the clarity of the movie, just visually was really striking watching it a second time on Blu-ray. X-Men was really good, but I think I probably like it less than I did. Something about it, like it's the secondary X-Men.
Yeah, I didn't like them. Yeah.
That part I don't like, and then also I have a really hard time seeing Magneto and Xavier being these like lifelong friends if they knew each other for like a couple months and then parted ways.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it seems like their time together is like really short, and there's not, you know, besides like one or two little scenes where they really interact in depth, it's not like they're really that close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I still think it was a really good movie, and both of them have pretty good special features. I look at every special feature, and I listen to every commentary and stuff, and I haven't got to listen to either commentary yet, but it's pretty cool. And let's see, was there anything else? I didn't get to watch any like awful movies this week, really. So
that's too bad. That's a bad week when you don't get to watch an awful movie.
But I do have to say, Sons of
Drive
Anarchy,
Angry wasn't on, huh?
Sons of Anarchy is running strong, and Danny Trejo appeared this week Romeo, and he is awesome. He is a great character.
Yeah, I do like Danny Trejo.
He's a cartel representative that is dealing guns. And he is pretty freaking awesome. So he's a great addition to the already awesome Sons of Anarchy.
I look forward to watching that show about 10 years from now.
Right. Well, Michael, I'm gonna eventually have to just start spouting spoilers off.
Oh, dude, I will not have a chance to watch anything. So
yeah, I might say something tonight. I might have to.
I'm just gonna wait till the seasons are like $15.99 at Target.
For our listeners,
dude,
I'm
you
sure
can watch all of them on Netflix or two or three seasons on Netflix, Dave.
Yeah, there's like two seasons.
But then I have to sit down and watch all of them on Netflix. So.
Exactly. That's my issue also.
Yeah, I've got many things ahead of Sons of Anarchy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy is, first of all, Scarecrow Mrs. King is in our Netflix queue, so that's coming. I get to watch that.
Don't you watch that show, Private's Practice, also?
My wife watches that. Oh. I only watch it for Kate Walsh.
Also put Hardcastle and McCormick up recently.
Yeah. Thought about it.
As well.
I love Kate Walsh, and I love Amy Brenneman, so Private Practice
is
right in the alley.
Hardcastle and McCormick might have to be a certain nomination at some point.
Oh, maybe.
Veto! All right, so...
You know that they do have Star Trek the Animated Series on Netflix stream now.
They have everything except DS9.
That's pretty Vulcan cool.
Yeah. It's Vulcan awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, that's my week as far
awesome,
as I know.
Awesome, dude.
So go ahead. Move on. Whoever's
next. As far as my week goes, of course, my mom died last week, so that sucked. All right, so up next is... I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Well, no, she did. But anyway, we had the funeral this
dark
week.
Place there.
This weekend, and did the eulogy, so I made it through that pretty well. I wrote it late last night, or not last night, wrote it late Thursday night. Of course, you can find that on BroadwayDave.blogspot.com.
So, I thought you were going to say the Deucecast.com.
That'd be awesome. Mom's eulogy on the Deucecast.com. No, we ended up staying in Op, Alabama at a hotel, and the last time we had to stay in Op, Alabama for another funeral, like 5 or 6 years ago, we stayed at a little place called the Traveler's Inn. And I guess 5 years makes a lot of difference, because I don't think we really saw a whole lot on the internet about what this place looked like.
Right.
It was just recommended to us, hey, there's a place called Traveler's Inn, so you can stay there. Okay. And that place alone made my wife, Stephanie, decide we would never stay in Op again ever.
Wow.
Well, we did find out there was a brand new Best Western.
All right.
On the boulevard there. So we ended up staying there. Very nice. I signed up for my Best Western card, and I got my Best Western points for two nights. It was awesome.
Because you're going to be a Best Western frequenter.
Dude,
at this
I might. I might stay here in town just to get the points.
You don't want to stay at the one on Green Springs.
I will brag on the girl behind the counter. Her name is Tina. The service she gave was great. She was very friendly. When I was finishing the eulogy, actually, I had to go and print it off in the hotel lobby. And it was like 12:30, and I came up, and she was still there at the desk. She was behind the counter, maybe behind the door or whatever, watching TV or something. And,
right.
And she came out. She's very friendly. I could tell she was tired, but she was like, oh, here's a paper, blah, blah, blah. And, the next morning, she was still there, you know, and she helped me out and everything. And then we decided to stay an extra night, so she got us a cheaper room rate.
Just
so,
couldn't get enough of that Best Western,
I mean, she was great. No, we decided to stay in the night.
Was it really the Best Western, or was it kind
of
like
Western? Of all the Westerns in Op, it was the Best Western. Yes, absolutely.
Well, hey, speaking of that, I don't mean to cut you off, Dave, and you, please feel free to continue here, but I have to mention this, and I don't know why I left it out. A part of it was the cat turmoil going on, but this past week, Steph and I celebrated our 6th anniversary.
Yay!
And we went out Thursday night. That's one reason why the Deucecast was a little late coming out, was because I didn't have the ability to...
You were too little too trashed when you got in.
Do some technical things, but we went went to one of these really nice hotels we have downtown, and here's the coolest part, and it's totally appropriate to mention. We did this like romance package where, like, you know, they bring you little like snacks up to the room.
Your sister.
Yeah, like they bring what you get is you get breakfast in the morning, and the best steakhouse in Chattanooga is in the Reed House.
In the Best Western?
No, but it's in the Reed House, which is the hotel we stayed at. It's like a historical...
It's in rehab?
Really old hotel. But anyway, for breakfast, one of the choices was steak and eggs.
Nice.
And it was an 8-ounce New York strip, and it was one of the best steaks I've ever had. Probably one of the absolute best breakfasts I've ever had.
So do they put the eggs on top of the steak?
No, it's just separately on a plate.
Okay. I don't know.
I know, Michael, you like almost anything with an egg on it.
I do. But I guess that'd be like worlds colliding, though. Eggs on top of a steak. That'd be, you know, the chicken and the cow colliding.
They could be friends on the ranch. Who knows?
I don't know.
Anyway, I just want to give a shout out to my lovely wife, Stephanie. She is my absolute
6 years.
Best friend. And you know what? I've told her this before, but it's hard to... think of anybody. I mean, as much as I like, there's so many great people out there. Nearly every single thing that I do, I would be enhanced by her being there. She doesn't like take away from almost anything I do. It's like, She doesn't give me a hard time about anything. Like, we agree and enjoy all, like, almost everything we do together. So,
dude, she's not in the chat. You don't have to.
And as far as, you know.
It doesn't matter. I love
her. Kidding.
Just
kidding,
about anything I do would be enhanced by her being there. I feel the same way about Amy Adams. So, that's really cool. So, anyway, yeah, to finish up, best restaurant in Op. Love it. Love it very much. And a great little place. I can't. I actually am excited about getting my Best Western card in the mail. They're going to send me a little card with a number on it. And, you know, so I'm going to be a Best Western Rewards member.
So, Dave, so you're saying it was a good opportunity for you,
it
right?
Was. Okay. It was. Yes, yes. It was like special Op. So, anyway, so that was my weekend. And, of course, I got back just in time to finish watching college football for the rest of the day, including Michigan and Notre Dame. So, it was awesome. So anyway, we're gonna take it now to the music minute, and
okay,
Matt.
Yeah, let me see if I can get my thing pulled up.
All right, well, I'll give some introductions before we get this going. So we've swapped things around. We like to keep things lively here on the Deucecast, and I am handling the music minute tonight. And as you guys have heard the last couple of weeks, Sons of Anarchy is back in full swing. One of my favorite things about Sons of Anarchy, one thing that pulls me into the Sons of Anarchy world, is the use of music. And there is, you could go online and look at certain websites, and they strategically pick, there's probably like 150 total songs that they've chosen to be in different episodes, but my favorite are when they choose a special song, for like, usually it's like a big season premiere, season finale. Usually it's some sort of kind of big scene where there's lots of things going on and they've got to tell a story, but they'll play the song through it. And on iTunes, they've got these songs available, and some of them were probably available through Amazon. I wasn't able to find them, honestly, on there. But I'm going to start out with one of the best examples. This first song first appeared in the season one finale. And it's John the Revelator. It's performed by Curtis Stigers and the Forest Rangers. They also performed the theme song, the main theme, This Life. All of these songs feature the Forest Rangers, and the Forest Rangers are basically a band made up of the show's music supervisor, as well as, I guess, it's like writers and cast people from the show that play the instruments, as far as I understand it. But anyway, Michael, go ahead and play the clip. This is one of my favorites, but this is the first one that appears. That's why I want it to be number one.
Cool.
No, God walked out in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name. He refused to answer, cause he was naked and ashamed. Tell me who's that right, John the Revelator.
Dude, I like this. This is good stuff.
John the Revelator, who's that right? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seas.
Yeah, every song here, they basically... they cover tons of songs, but they kind of sculpt them and mold them into this kind of like Western style. I love it. Some of my favorites are the really slow ones. This next song is actually kind of got a little bit of a, I don't know, almost like a Motown-ish vibe to it. This song is called Someday Never Comes. This is performed by Billy Valentine as the guest vocalist in the Forest Rangers. But this is one of my favorites. This one appeared in season two. You can go ahead and play it.
Well, time and tears went by, and I collected dust, for there were many things I didn't know. When Daddy went away, he said, try to be a man, and someday you'll understand.
I really like this, man.
Well, I'm here to tell you now, each and every mother's son, you better run it fast, you better run it young, for someday you'll understand. Oh, someday you'll understand.
Yeah, basically, you know, these songs all appear, you know, usually it's through like montage moments. Like a lot of times the best songs appear at either the very beginning or very end of an episode, you know, while they're kind of putting the narrative pieces together. But every one of these, when I hear the song, I can remember, you know, the spirit of the scene, you know, whatever it is, like they just connect so well. This next song is performed by Joshua James. He's the kind of featured vocalist, but this is a remake of a Herman's Hermit song called No Milk Today. And this song took place, this is I can remember it like it was yesterday. At the very end of season two, I'm not going to give a spoiler away, but a very traumatic event happens, and Jax, the main character, is pretty destroyed. So this is the very first thing you basically hear when season three starts, and Jax is in a pretty rough place, and it's kind of a montage of kind of this bleak beginning. But go ahead and play the clip. This is one of my favorites.
You know, Joshua James is a pretty hipster favorite.
So. He is, but they use his music well.
No meal today. Stands forlorn, a symbol of the dawn. No meal today, it seems a common sight. People passing by don't know the reason why. How can they know just what this message means? The end of all my hopes, the end of all my dreams. How could they know the palace they had been?
Anyway, there's No Milk Today, and that's they actually really used one of my absolutely favorite things so far this season. The very opening song was a Joshua James song, and they played the entire song, I think. I can't remember what the name of it is, but I really love the use of it. But it really matched really well, like what was going on in the season. Anyway, I got a couple more here. This one, I'm going to play this clip, and then I'm going to explain a little bit of it. This was played at the very beginning of an episode when, I guess, anyway, I'll go ahead and play it, and then I'll explain a little more. This is Bird on a Wire. That's the name of the song.
Is that the theme song from the Mel Gibson movie?
Yeah, it is.
That's awesome.
Mel Gibson, Goldie Hawn classic.
Do you guys recognize this voice at all?
It's Alana Miles, right? I'm just kidding. I hope that you know. Actually, I don't. I'm sorry.
It's Bjork, actually.
Really?
No.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't get that.
No, this is actually Katie Sagal singing this song.
Oh,
yeah, she's featured on some of the. She actually has a couple of albums. I didn't know this.
Leela,
years ago. Yeah, Leela, Peg Bundy, but she's also Gemma, who's the main kind of matriarch.
Yeah.
Of the Sons of Anarchy. But she did this song. She also does a remake of Ruby Tuesday. It just, you know, it just suits it so well. This last one is one of my favorites. I've actually been listening to it a lot recently. This song was featured in the season three finale. I'm featuring all songs from the Forest Rangers, like featuring the Forest Rangers. There are a lot of other really good ones that I could choose. One of them is a remake of Hey, Hey, My, My, the Neil Young song. Dude, the use of this remake in kind of the montage ending of season three was phenomenal. I mean, it is absolutely amazing.
Do you know who sings it?
The artist, the name is Battle Me. I don't know what the guy's name is, but it's one guy, and he does all of it. But this song is actually features his vocals and Slash on the guitar.
Ah.
This song is Miles Away. Go ahead and play this. And we can keep playing if you guys want to keep playing it for a little longer than the clip.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, that does feel like some Slash. Oh, there it is.
I think Winger had a song called Miles Away.
They did. so this is the guy that does the Neil Young thing also?
Yeah. Yeah. He's on several of the songs. Cool. He's a guy that they kind of tap for a lot of vocals.
Is there a solo anywhere?
It's way on into it. We can cut it if we want to fade out. Anyway,
that was good,
that's,
man.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. And both of these are available. They're two separate EPs. Basically, at the end of each season on iTunes, they'll release an EP of like kind of their original songs that they create. And I really suggest you check them out. I usually don't buy soundtrack music, but they put so much time and effort, you know, into that aspect of this show, and it pays off like just extremely well. It makes the world just another dimension deeper. And so I urge you guys to check these out. Like I said, they're available. The songs were John the Revelator, Someday Never Comes, No Milk Today, Burn on a Wire, and that last one was Miles Away, all by the Forest Rangers. So nice. Check out some Sons of Anarchy music.
Dude, I really enjoyed it.
That is the Music Minute.
Is it going to be able to, can I link to it on Amazon? I mean, is there a soundtrack you can buy?
I don't know. We might have to do a little digging to see about that. I hope so, but I didn't see the MP3 links for it.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I am taking the Smorgasbord this week, and I wanted to sort of commemorate the start of the NFL season. I am a huge NFL fan, probably more than college football. So Dave, can I have some top 10 music, please?
Yeah, right here, buddy.
Okay, great. I like that. So I'm going to do a top 10 list here. It's the top 10 lessons learned from the NFL this opening
weekend. Dave, can
you
fade it down a little bit?
So, that's appropriate, Dave.
It's really loud.
But, we're going to go with number 10 here, and I'm a huge Cowboys fan, and my dad and I, we always, every year, watch the opening Cowboys game together, and we did the same thing. It was a Sunday night game, so a lot of these are going to be Cowboys-centric, and they're going to sound like I'm not a fan, but I really am a fan. So here we go, number 10, and again, this is the lessons learned from the NFL this weekend. If you're a Cowboys fan, you can expect to lose a lead in the fourth quarter and ultimately lose the game. So that's number 10.
Pretty much.
Yep. Number 9, if your last name is Harbaugh, you are deemed football royalty and will have huge amounts of praise heaped on you at all times. Number 8, if you sucked at football, you will suck at commentating. See Chad Pennington.
I'm totally lost, but keep going.
Number 7, Tony Romo will fumble the ball on the goal line at least once trying to be a hero late in the game. Number 6, never say, at least Romo hasn't thrown his obligatory interception yet, because if you do, it will happen on the next play, and my dad can attest to that actually happening. I said, at least he hasn't thrown his interception yet, and he threw it and basically lost the game at that point.
Even if the game's over.
It's your fault, Michael. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Number 5, if I would have had a brother, I would have had a good chance at playing or coaching professional football. See the Harbaughs, Ryans, Mannings, McGowans, Clausens, or Palmers. Number 4, Cam Newton's quarterback coach is now Mike Shula. I do believe Carolina might need to hire a new coach because, historically speaking, Mike Shula will automatically ruin a good thing. Number 3, if you name your child Early, Beanie, or DeBrickashaw, they will be football players. Number 2, and this really got on my nerves. Number 2, if you are either the Giants or the Jets and you win in New York, our society has deemed it acceptable to equate that win as proper commemoration for the events of 9/11. I hated that on the Jets game. It was the worst thing. And number 1, if you are a gun-toting thug who has done jail time and you catch a touchdown pass, then you are completely rehabilitated as far as the public is concerned. See Plaxico Burress. So that was my top 10 football-related things that I learned on this awesome opening weekend. I'm loving the fantasy football league I'm in. Loving the Deuce Cat or the DFC.
It's all
good stuff, man. So that was my smorg, and I really enjoyed
Michael,
that.
Did you see that they've got the NFL ticket the Sunday Ticket or whatever on the PlayStation 3?
No. I'm sure there's a fee involved, but no, I didn't see
Well,
see
I mean,
they...
to get it, I don't know if it's like you pay per game or anything like that. It doesn't say anything about it. I mean, it says it's free.
Interesting.
It says it's brought to you. It says it's brought to you by, like, it's a combination, you know, with DirecTV because they are the ones that do it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that you, I mean, you might want to look into it. It doesn't say that you have to be
awesome.
Yes, it doesn't say that you have to be a DirecTV subscriber from what I saw, but I don't know any of the details.
I'll have to
no
definitely look into that. I appreciate that, man.
So.
That would be huge for me because the rate the Cowboys are going this season, they are not going to be televised every weekend. So, so Dave, what you got, buddy?
Well, I, of course, have a buried treasure for us. And, you know, I'm not even going to try to go into the description of this because when I say three words, I know Michael for a fact is going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. Matt may or may not. And this is a movie that I saw a couple of days ago for the first time in probably, I don't know, years.
Okay.
And that movie is Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, gosh, I love it.
I've
got the Blu-ray. I
had forgotten how much I enjoy this movie. You know,
I've never seen it all the way through at once.
A couple of things about this movie. Of course, for those of you who don't know, the movie is it basically centers around a graduation party at a girl's house whose her name in the credits is Girls Whose Party Whose House It Is or something like that.
Yeah.
And Preston Myers, of course, is played by Ethan Embry, and he's this charming guy that you just can't help but like, and he's in love with Amanda Beckett, who just broke up with Mike Dexter, who is the biggest jerk ever.
I'm gonna have to watch it tonight.
So, of course, you know, he's trying to figure out what to do. He's talking to his best friend, Denise Fleming, about telling Amanda Beckett, you know, how he feels. He's got this letter for her, you know, and this is all these crazy sub-characters and subplots at the party. Of course, Kenny Fisher is played by Seth Green.
And that's who Fisher the Cat was named after.
Yes. Yep. And all he can do is try to hook up. I mean, it's amazing. You know, and of course, Jerry O'Connell makes a cameo.
Yes,
Tripp
he does.
McNeely.
Tripp McNeely.
You were a sexual icon in high
Tripp
school.
Tripp McNeely.
The movie takes place over one night. I will say that Barry Manilow actually does play a small part in this movie.
Yes, he does. Yep.
The movie is set to take place on...
And Jenna Elfman.
Jenna Elfman. But the movie supposedly takes place on June 17th. It's a high school graduation, which means they graduated really late.
Yeah, you know, they're in a year-round program.
But it's a great film, and it's a movie that I think we watched, two or three dozen times.
At least.
We got to the point where we all knew the parts by heart. And Michael and I actually watched the commentary.
Should I put the Jimmy sack on now or later?
I mean, I'm gonna double back. I don't know what that girl's been. Yeah. we watched the commentary and we found out there's a whole lot of gags and stuff they had to take out to get a PG-13 rating. Like the scene with the watermelon where Jason Segal actually makes his first movie appearance.
Yep.
And at the beginning of the movie, they cut a part out where he soaks a watermelon at the beginning of the year, he comes out with a watermelon saying, "This has been soaking all year in vodka."
You infuse the vodka into the watermelon.
Whatever. And so, at the end of the movie, you see them eating the watermelon, but you don't really know what it's for. There's one scene in there where they're funneling beer, but to keep a PG-13 rating, they had to replace it with a balloon. And just things like that. I mean, I really wish
a balloon.
They can't show minors drinking beer
For the PG-13 versus R rating.
What do you mean they? How would they do a balloon?
Like what they did was like with somebody
like a balloon full of heroin.
They filmed somebody funneling. They went in and digitally replaced that funnel
with a balloon. Right.
So you see somebody holding onto a balloon in the background.
It's bad.
Know?
It's bad. But. I wish they'd come out with the rated R version.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be so good.
But there are a lot of little sight gags. What's his name? The redhead kid from American Pie, the Shermanator. Chris Owen?
Chris Owen.
He plays the
he's a klepto.
He plays the klepto guy. In just about every scene you see him in the background, he's
stealing something.
Putting something in his pocket. there's a couple, that entire movie in the background, they're making out.
Right.
Like every other scene you see him making out.
There's the pot brownie girl.
Had a bigger scene, but they cut from the
right,
movie.
Right.
And so there's just a lot of little sight gags and everything. And it's just, I mean, it's, you know, it should have won some Oscars. It didn't. I think Charlie Corsmo got nominated for an Oscar. If I'm not mistaken, it was nominated for sound editing.
The Star Wars nerds.
And I will say that the Sneaker Pimps got nominated for Six Underground.
Take Me Down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good song.
Good song. But anyway, so That's a little overview of Can't Hardly Wait, and I really want you to go out and watch the movie. Matt, I think you would actually like
it.
I think you would. It's just a fun movie.
It really is. It's very jovial.
So anyway, so there it is, and that's our buried treasure for the week.
Awesome.
Yeah, Can't Hardly Wait. I think we should put Sneaker Pimp's Six Underground as the ending song of our show.
Well done, Dave.
Yeah. I think we should too.
And that, of course, brings us to our big three. And in honor of 9/11, this past Sunday marked 10 years since 9/11. Of course, there were shows all over television and video footage and things like that. And we're not going to really get into that a whole lot, but and we don't really want to make a whole lot of jokes of that situation itself. We do all, of course, remember September 11th. We all know where we were. And to honor that day, we do want to have a little bit of fun with the patriotic theme. Our big three is going to be patriotic. We're going to give you our big three movies where Americans go in and kick foreign butt.
Yes.
Terrorist butt or bad guy butt or whatever.
Yes.
Americans kick foreign butt.
Right.
Not American kick American butt. We don't want to see Jack Taggart kicking Chris Christopherson's butt.
That's right.
We're both Americans.
That's right.
We want to see Jack Taggart kicking some Serbian gangsta or something.
Serbian gangsta.
So anyway, we're going to kick it off. We'll let Matt go first with his number three.
Yes.
Number three movie where American kicks foreign butt.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to pick any Seagal movies because in the majority of movies where he kicks like openly foreign butt, they're usually he's an Interpol agent,
yeah,
so he's not
so
really representing
count.
America.
That's right.
But also, I had trouble because in a lot of movies, America gets its butt kicked. You know what I mean?
Somewhat.
Like it fights hard, but everybody ends up like dying or something. So there are a lot of movies, like a couple I really wanted to choose I would normally want to choose, but I didn't. But my number three has a lot of butt kicking in it. And for some reason, this has always been one that's impressed me. Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
Just the whole like sniper scene, you know, where the snipers are sitting there protecting the dude and the guy's like, the helicopter pilot, and just like hundreds upon hundreds of skinnies, quote unquote, are attacking, and they're just like taking them out, you know, like one at a time. It's a great movie. I love that movie, and it makes me stir with national pride.
Dude, there's a ton of people in that movie too. I mean,
Oh yeah.
It's kind of a that guy.
And it's so weird because
smorgasbord.
Ewan McGregor, all he does is like serve coffee to people. It's such a strange role for him. I'm used to him more, you know, out in front.
First movie I've seen where he had an English, like an American accent.
And it wasn't a very good one.
Well,
but that, you know, that's neither here nor there.
my number three may be a little controversial because I thought about this and I wanted to have a little fun with this as well, where Americans kick foreign butt, and I go with number three. I'm gonna go with Rounders.
Oh,
Teddy KGB got his butt kicked at the end.
Yeah, he did.
Matt Damon, I can't remember his name, his character's name, but he goes in and, of course, spoiler alert, the tell with the Oreos, you know. And I love John Malkovich's bad accent playing Teddy KGB. And, of course, he got me. Pay this man, and you throw the Oreos across the room, you know, and you got the creepy guy from While You Were Sleeping. He's Teddy KGB's assistant or whatever.
Yep, he's
about to get up, and no, pay the man his money. Teddy KGB's awesome. Anyway, that's my number three, where an American, Matt Damon, kicks a foreign Teddy KGB's butt.
Yep. That's good stuff, man. And I sort of went in chronological order. I tried to remember some movies from when I was younger that I loved where, you know, Americans kicked foreign butt. So my number three has got to be Raiders of the Lost Ark, where you have an American through and through Indiana Jones kicking some Nazi butt.
I love
that movie. It's a classic to me. So going in the chronological order by year, that is the number three for me.
I thought about Temple of Doom, where he's,
yeah, I mean, really,
it's not really kicking butt. It's more of pulling out the heart, you know.
Right. That's why I went with Raiders, because he does beat up on some Nazi butt.
Absolutely.
So,
all right,
Matt, what you got? Number two.
Okay, well, my number two is the first movie I ever saw where someone was exploded by an arrow. And that is Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, John Rambo is tapped by, what's his name? Colonel Troutman.
Yep.
You know, he's tapped by Colonel Troutman to go back and rescue these POWs. And he just goes in and cleans house. I love it. I loved every second of that movie. It's one of my all-time favorite action movies, period. And I think it is one of Stallone's most iconic performances. I the first, you know, the original First Blood, the first Blood.
That one's really gritty.
But it's very different. It's a very different movie from the others.
It's more dramatic, really.
Yeah, it's more like almost kind of a silent movie. You know, he hardly has any dialogue in it.
Well, the first one is I think meant to be more of a serious kind of a character study kind of piece, Lone Man or whatever. And I think when they did the second one, they were like, "Screw it, let's just kill people."
Well, they realized there's an interesting story to that because I was watching the Rambo, the newest one, John Rambo,
which is not a bad
commentary.
Film.
Yeah. No, I love the new Rambo too.
Good. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love the newest one, but Stallone said that when they made the first Rambo, when they made First Blood, that it was originally, I don't know, over 2 hours long, and it had a lot of dialogue, and it was a very different movie, and it just didn't, like, when they showed it to test audiences and stuff, it just didn't work, and so he actually cobbled together the money to buy the movie from the production company. And from the studio, and he went in and edited it down. He went in with an editor and went through scene by scene and edited out nearly all of the dialogue to make it a much more kind of like introspective movie. And it ended up working because of that. But he said that the version before they did that would have probably never gone over because it was just too talky. Like there was too much. And like it's almost like the original screenplay was written without Rambo really being fleshed out, you know, in that way. But I thought it was really interesting.
But really, if you when you watch First Blood, it's almost ridiculous because here's a guy who just comes into town, doesn't bother anybody, and Brian Dennehy is such a D-bag that he's like, "I'm going to pick a war with you. It's just like,
well, there's a lot of parallels to Hobo with a Shotgun, where he's just trying to come in town and start his life over.
Except for the fact that it's much better, 1,000 times better, and it's watchable, and it's believable, and it's a good
movie. And there's no glass eating for money for a lawnmower.
Exactly. My number two, Michael's going to love this, because who doesn't love Harrison Ford as President James Marshall?
Yep.
And one of the last good roles that he've ever actually had, 1997's Kicking Butt as president in Air Force One.
That's right.
Gary Oldman playing Yvonne Korshunov. Of course, Glenn Close as she's vice president, even though she's a woman, so that'll never happen.
You've got the sequel, Air Force Two.
Air Force Two, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually well. It was released in a double feature with Second Blood,
right?
And of course, that guy Xander Berkeley.
Xander Berkeley.
Secret Service.
A good that guy.
A good that guy. Very good that guy. I love Air Force One, and of course, when Glenn Close, the vice president, is on there, and the president will not negotiate, and Yvonne goes, "We have his wife. We have his daughter. He will negotiate."
Dude, I like your Russian accent, Dave. It's really
good. Right.
It totally is not Russian at all.
Pay the president his money.
Well, my number two, along the same lines as Matt, but I just have a special love for Rambo 3.
Afghanistan,
Third Blood, baby, Third Blood.
Yeah, Troutman gets captured by the Afghanis, so of course Rambo has to go in and rescue Troutman, and he kicks some major Afghani butt. I mean, it is so awesome.
I like the Rambo featured in UHF when Weird Al Yankovic goes and starts blowing things up and shooting people.
That's my number two. I mean, I have very fond memories of the third Rambo because it is just is balls to the wall, baby. it's good
well,
stuff.
Well, by the time they did the third one, they were like, "Who cares?"
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. So, Matt, what you got number one?
Well, my number one, I mean, when I think of patriotic movies where Americans are kicking for them, but it's hard for me to look anywhere past the classic film Robot Jocks, because Robot Jocks features, which is a future version of America. American influenced Western Market is the name of the country. Achilles is the representative. He's got his robot jock. He's fighting Alexander, who's the representative of the Russian Confederation. I'm just kidding. That's not really my number one. But
I wrote that down on my sheet of paper here. Now I gotta scribble it out.
My number one, seriously, is it is hard for me to consider any patriotic movie outside of The Patriot with Mel Gibson. I mean, it's got American flag waving. It's got, you know, like they're trying not to let the flag like hit the ground. It's got people getting their heads blown off with cannonballs. You know what? It's just, it's got Jason Isaacs as an incredibly douchey bad guy.
And he is so good in that role.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
well, with the hair and stuff, it's like he steps straight out of Lucius Malfoy into Colonel Tavington. So it's the same
character. You know, like if you really think about it, though, like real patriotic movies are few and far between to find. Like that are like America is a good place. You know, like America you know, really stands for something good. And this
there's
is
not
one
a political
like,
slant of some type.
Yeah, this is a movie where you know you makes you feel good about like the battle that we fought for our freedom. And so I got to go number one with The Patriot, Mel Gibson.
Awesome. Very good choice. Good choice.
Nice. Well, my number one, I couldn't go anywhere past this. I had to go with Rocky IV.
Ah.
I mean,
yes.
That was
you got
honorable
the
mention
ultimate
of mine.
Bad guy, Ivan Drago, and the ultimate chick with him, the Brigitte Nielsen, is whatever her name was, you know. You think you are so very, very good, and we are so very, very bad.
What accent?
Are they Chinese?
That's her accent.
Like, oh, me so sorry.
And so, you know, it's such a great movie because you got Ivan Drago doing the steroids and pumping the iron on the equipment, and here comes Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, running through the mountains, and he runs up the snow-covered mountain, and... Drago! Oh, yeah, you know, it's
good.
And really, at the time, the movie, when the movie came out, the Cold War was at its climax. This movie ended the Cold War.
Yeah.
It stopped the war between America and Russia. The cold nuclear armament race, Rocky IV, ended the Cold War.
I thought it was Chain Reaction with
Keanu Reeves.
No, actually,
Reeves,
that actually stopped our conflict with the Falkland Islands. So Rocky IV ended the Cold War and ended Dolph Lundgren's career until The Expendables. But great film, great movie. Rocky IV, kicking foreign butt.
Yeah, and my number one sort of anticlimactic because Matt stole it a little bit, but Black Hawk Down has got to be my number one. And really, one of the main reasons I like that movie, you know, it's the first time I had seen Eric Bana before. And it's also the first time that I can remember that,
me too.
A Delta Force undercover type situation was shown on screen, where a guy you can see how the Delta Force interacted in that Somali society. So I thought that was pretty sweet. Just that particular character, I really really dug that character a lot.
And yeah, it definitely did lend a new level of kind of understand, almost like.
Yes.
Understanding or clarity on kind of the way certain things were done.
Exactly.
It had a lot of style to it, too. The way that.
Well, Ridley Scott,
he's very.
You can't go wrong.
Stylish with the way he makes his movies a lot. I love that.
And I'll go right into my honorable mentions real quick. Saving Private Ryan, that's a classic. Definitely one of my honorable mentions. We Were Soldiers, that's a really good portrayal of the Vietnam conflict. I really enjoyed that movie
quite
a bit.
That's true. That is a good one. I agree. I didn't think of that one for some reason.
And then one of my classic favorites that not a lot of people have seen, but it's also directed by Ridley Scott, Black Rain. It's Michael Douglas going to
Andy
kick
Garcia.
Some Yakuza butt, basically.
Heavy rain? Hard rain?
yes, heavy rain. No, this is Black Rain, but I actually highly recommend Black
Rain. Purple
Rain? It's slower in parts, but I don't know. When it gets to the climax and Michael Douglas is just taking on the Yakuza, It's just awesome. It's a great movie. So, Matt, what were some of your honorable mentions?
Well, one of my first, like, kind of instincts in honorable mentions is to think of, like, movies where, like, there's, like, a total just over-the-top American personality amongst a bunch of foreigners. And Big Trouble in Little China.
Good one.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, Kurt Russell is freaking awesome.
That movie's so ridiculous. It's so good.
It is. It's so insane. Him as Jack Burton, you know, going in there, just make a total fool of himself, you know, in front
Big
of these people.
Trouble.
But he still ends up, like, killing the guy and getting the girl. But I love that movie. Rocky IV was, of course, one. True Lies, I think.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Number one, I think that that dude who was the bad guy was really good. I think it had a pretty, it's kind of like almost eerie portrayal of kind of how far like Islamic terrorists would go. Because I don't think that was really that big before that movie had come out. I mean, it, I don't think that movie influenced it necessarily, but also Stripes. Is one as well, and Team America World Police. I can't have any list with America kicking butt, you know, without without that one, because it's ridiculous.
Well, I gotta call out Sean, because I know that he was he would mention this early in pre-production and everything about Team America. So tell us about Team America. That was kind of your number one, or the one you thought of.
Well, it was the first to come to my mind when you mentioned Americans kicking foreign butt. It's a hilarious movie. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely not for the kids, even though it's got little puppets in it. It's a hilarious movie, though. It's a satire, basically, of a big budget film.
Yeah.
And they just, everything is over the top. Like, it's hilarious. Even the theme song. In fact, the caption on the little poster is putting the F back in freedom. It's just, it's a great movie.
I liked it because, oh, go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead.
I liked it because the Thunderbird puppets. It's like the puppetry is all based upon that Thunderbirds style back in like the, gosh, I guess that was like the 60s or 70s that they did that marionette cartoon type thing.
Oh, I got a little bit of trivia for you guys. All the puppet work was done by the Kyoto brothers, who are kind of like some of the most famous puppet people in Hollywood. They are the people that created and directed and produced Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what they were from. So, and they're supposedly making a new Killer Clowns as well.
They're involved in it, or is it just like a remake, like all the other crap?
No, they're supposedly, it's rumored that they're making a brand new, like a return of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space movie.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, a few of my honorable mentions. Of course, I did talk about The Patriot, and I thought of the first three Die Hards, Die Hard 1, Die Harder, and Die Hard with a Vengeance. All three have foreign bad guys.
Yep.
And also thought about United 93. I didn't want to talk about it because it's so centered on September 11th, and I didn't want to bring the tone of the show down all the way to, like, depressing. But that is a great film. Of course, Patriot Games, Toy Soldiers with Sean Astin and Will Wheaton. Any movie where a male boarding school gets taken over by terrorists, you know, it's got to be great. And, of course, Red Dawn, where an entire state is taken over by Russian terrorists. One more, just throw in there, that would be Kill Bill Volume 1, where the bride takes on the Crazy 88 and Go-Go, and she kicks some foreign butt.
Yes, she does, most definitely. So,
Touché, my friend.
Move right into the roundtable, and you know, we don't have any specific Star Wars news, but I do want to use this as an opportunity to promote next week's show. As most of you know that have been listening to us and, you know, seen all the advertisements and stuff, the Blu-rays come out on the 16th. And so next week we're going to have Rhett in the house, and he is a Star Wars fan through and through. He may have some, you know, doubts on certain things about the prequels and even some issues with the original trilogy, but we're going to have
like
him.
A Holocaust denier is what he is.
We're going to have him in the house. We're going to do a lot. We're going to take probably the whole roundtable next week and just discuss the Blu-rays, because I believe all of us are going to have the opportunity to watch at least the original trilogy.
Well,
on
we'll
Blu-ray.
Take the whole roundtable unless, of course, good Carney Wilson news comes up.
Of course.
Or Jimmy Lovato.
Or Tone Loke.
Or Tone Loke.
Tone Loke news. I did read a review today of it. And,
IGN?
Yeah, and, no, it wasn't IGN. It was on, I think, High Def Digest or Blu-ray.com, one of the two. Yeah. I check those two sites pretty often. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, they mention, you know, the changes and, you know, that people are complaining about
their
childhoods being stolen and whatnot. But they said that, you know, like, if you enjoy classic, you know, awesome classic movies shown in nearly the best possible quality they can be shown, then you're a fool if you do not buy this.
Yeah.
They say that it is just like the quality, especially of the original trilogy, is they couldn't really imagine it being any better. They said it is so freaking good.
As far as I know, and I've done the checking on it so far, Best Buy is going to have it for $89.99 this week. Yep. I think there's a shirt that comes with it. Target
is $79.
$79.99. And they have some sort of lithograph thing to go with it as well. I haven't found one.
Amazon $79 as well.
Okay. I probably won't even order it. I mean, I'll go and purchase it somewhere. So
yeah, I will too, but we can link to that.
We'll link to Amazon so you can purchase it through our website.
Yes.
Speaking of massive, huge hits that basically shaped who we are as people, The Expendables 2 is coming out, Mikey. Is that right?
Yeah. And this is one of our first like follow-up stories. Last week we had said there was rumors that Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme were going to be a part of it. And that this week was confirmed. They are in the cast. That is confirmed by Sylvester Stallone himself. They will be definitely in it. And then also, Matt, you had some other stuff that you'd found out about The Expendables 2 this week?
Well, it was mentioned that... It's all kind of speculation,
right?
You know,
right.
It's kind of like hinted, but Stallone has hinted that he's even getting possibly Nick Cage and John Travolta.
I read the Nick Cage part.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, both of them.
Stallone said in his report too. He said that when actors are down in their luck, he wants to give them a chance. He's like, because somebody gave me a chance too, so I was able to come back.
Somebody gave me a chance.
I was able to make a comeback. And so basically, that's actually what he said. And I read the subtitles. But they just speed it up. He's inferring that John Travolta and Nick Cage both need comebacks, which may be true.
I don't know. I don't know if they'll actually be in it. The coolest thing to me is Chuck Norris. I just think that's... And what would be just genius is to make him a villain. Because pretty much every movie you've ever seen him in, he's the hero.
Although, I would love to see Steven Seagal take on Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because they were like the competing mixed martial arts kung fu movie guys in the late 80s and 90s.
I would love to see that.
I mean, Van Damme would win, of course.
Unfortunately, though, I don't think Seagal... would do it, because I think, unlike Van Damme, I can't say so for Chuck Norris, because I know Chuck Norris has, like, you know, the Walker Texas Ranger DVD sales or whatever.
The residuals.
Yeah, he's got the royalties. Total Gym or whatever, you know, he's working on, but and his Christian movies that he's making. But, you know, I think Seagal could get by just as a freaking karate instructor.
Yeah.
You know, just going like to films, you know, teaching the UFC dudes and stuff. So I think Seagal is almost spread so much that I don't think he feels like he probably needs it. You know what I mean? Like, his movies obviously aren't where his big deal is now. He's got a TV series. He's, you know, kind of in all these different things. So,
well, I mean,
and he's a killer musician.
I don't think he'll be in it for sure now, because his nemesis, Jean-Claude Van Damme, is signed on for sure.
Right.
So I don't think
they hate each other.
They do.
I know that I've never seen any quote where Seagal dissed Van Damme. But I know that Van Damme openly has expressed hate for Seagal.
Well, I'm also hearing too that action star Rick Moranis may have a cameo in it as well. So I'm pretty excited about that.
He needs a comeback.
Does need a comeback. He definitely needs a comeback.
That'll be Ghostbusters 3.
And the Fat Boys.
Maybe Eugene Levy as well.
Those guys are doing the soundtrack.
Dude, those guys are dead.
I know. That's what they need to come back more than ever.
Who?
The Fat Boys.
Who? The Fat Boys.
There's the music.
Oh, it is on the list.
There's the sound. It's Grey's Anatomy Watch. Well, not a whole lot to report on Grey's Anatomy, of course. The season premieres this Thursday. The season 7 DVD came out yesterday, and I actually was there to buy it. Walmart
at midnight.
Walmart sells it for $36.99. Best Buy has it for $32.99. Target for $34.99. So I went to Best Buy and got it. I actually bought that and the second season of Glee together.
You're a Gleek also?
Well, my wife is.
Oh, okay.
You bought the DVDs, not Blu-rays, Dave?
Oh, I did buy the DVDs.
You're not a Grey's purist.
Because I'm not watching Glee She is. She doesn't care, so I bought that. And I couldn't find the Blu-ray of Grey's Anatomy. I could not find it.
Oh, there's
it
a reason for that.
But, yeah. But anyway, I am excited to see what happens this season. I did miss my Grey's. And my wife and I are having this huge dilemma of, you know, do we DVR all the episodes now and watch them week by week, or wait 6 weeks and watch six at a time?
You can do
that. Or do we wait and watch them all next September when the DVD comes out?
Why not?
But that's a whole year of waiting for Mare Dare and for Arizona Cali.
Well, they would, if you recorded them, they'd be in high def now.
Well, that's true. So, that is true. I mean, but, you know, it's very complicated. We're seeking counseling on this issue and how to solve this in our marriage. And we don't really know what we're going to do yet. But we do know that
definitely
we will.
Need some wise counsel there.
We will be tuning in and popping our DVDs in to watch Grey's Anatomy Season 7.
I saw the promo for it, and Sandra was, like, crying a lot.
Well, she's got a baby. So,
oh, okay.
Hey, I like Sandra.
Yeah,
she's my favorite
after watching, dude, she, you know, I've always thought that she was pretty pitiful looking. But after watching several episodes with Stephanie, she is disturbing looking. Her face is like that of a horse, but with eyes about an 8
Can't hear you criticizing. Can't hear you criticizing.
Turn it down. Good grief.
She is pitiful. Okay, and also, we watched an episode recently, because I guess
I like that
women
we're
love
about
to watch. Women love to watch shows where there's some sort of, like, penis-related problems, I guess, for some reason.
Try watching Piranha 3D.
Yeah, but we were watching, I guess women, like, think it's great, because that's who the show's for. But anyway, we were watching, you can tell by all the feminine
NTR
hygiene
Knight,
product
we
ads.
Found out.
But anyway, we're watching the show, and Meredith Grey, who is the main, you know, title
Ellen
character,
Pompeo, yes, yes,
turns into a total skank basically after being, you know, whatever. I can't. I don't know what the word is. But anyway, like, you know, treated badly by McDreamy.
Yeah,
and she
yeah.
becomes like a total whore.
Well, he is confused.
And so she starts like
because he's married.
She starts like sleeping with everybody, and she starts like going to bar, and meeting guys, and having all these one night stands. Well, she meets this one guy, and he wakes up and comes into the hospital with a priapism. And they spend like the entire episode like doing all these tests on him to see like why he is having this problem. And it's like, why on earth?
I remember this episode, actually. And you know what? I actually think I'm going to go back and
so
start rewatching the episodes from the beginning. This is a great
so
show.
Pathetic.
It is pretty
I love the fact that we've talked about this for 3 minutes and 36 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I was going to do like a 30-second blurb. Anyway, Grey's Anatomy coming up this Thursday night, tomorrow night, actually. Oh, I would say last night if you're listening to this on Friday morning, like I know you are because you just downloaded it,
right.
The Deucecast. Grey's
right
Anatomy,
there.
Buy the DVD before Sunday and you'll get the sale price. Go to Best Buy, $32.99, or get it through Amazon.
Yes.
On our website, thedeucecast.com.
Or do yourself a favor and buy a gun and one bullet.
Jeez.
You'll get it. You'll get by much better.
Oh, God. That was painful. Speaking of a gun.
That's a great song, by the way.
Spielberg came out this week. Spielberg came out this week and said he actually regretted taking out the gun in E.T. and putting in the flashlight. So he has guaranteed. And this was pretty cool because it was at a screening of, I believe, Raiders. And he was there and Harrison Ford was there. And he was just basically talking to the crowd. And he was like, who wants the Blu-ray to come out with the gun back in it? And the crowd went crazy. And he was like, so be it. So basically, he just made the decision. I mean, it's his movie. He can do whatever the crap he wants to. So he is...
George Lucas never gets away with that excuse.
Well, he has guaranteed that the E.T. Blu-ray will be only the edition with the gun in it. The flashlight will be out of it. And then also...
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, the original. The 1982 original version. And then also, he mentioned that the trilogy, Indiana Jones trilogy, is probably coming out next year. He has to just wait on basically Lucas to get done working on the Star Wars Blu-rays, which obviously he's done with. So hopefully they can move on to the much anticipated Indiana Jones trilogy.
And I've heard that at the end of Last Crusade, when the blonde foreign chick falls through the little crevice, she goes, no!
Yeah.
What do you mean trilogy? It's a quadrilogy.
Well, they've already what I mean by that is they've released the fourth one on Blu-ray already, so they're not.
Yeah, but you
got to
release the whole canon, though. I mean,
that's not what he said in the interview.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is the most important.
But the fourth one
to that puzzle
sucked.
Let's face it. He specifically
Mutt
said trilogy.
Lang is an important character.
Yeah, he specifically said trilogy. And then also there was just a little tidbit, Harrison Ford saying that, you know, he'll do a fifth one if the script is right. That he doesn't want
the script wasn't right last time.
That he doesn't want to go to Mars. And then Spielberg said, I don't want to go to Mars either. So we at least know that it won't be Indiana Jones in space.
Yeah, how about they go back to the well and rewrite it, redo it?
Did you guys see the story, story about the sword fight scene?
I read your email. That's been known for quite a while that he was ill, and that's why
he had diarrhea.
I don't know if it specifically said diarrhea.
Dude, that's crappy,
but
man.
We knew he was ill. He pulled out a gun to shorten the scene, basically, and it was improv.
I think it's pretty awesome.
It was all part of he had a fever, so I guess the diarrhea went along with it because he had like 104 temperature. I mean, really, he was.
We talking about diarrhea?
No, he was really sick. Hey, he's your boy. You have the man crush on Harrison Ford.
Oh, I do.
Really. I figure you don't want to extend any talk of the overhyped Harrison Ford.
He's not overhyped.
Speaking
of hey, guys. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I cannot believe I have not said anything about this. I watched the entire Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, dude.
It's so bad. It's so awesome.
Oh, hey, look, if you haven't watched it in 10 years, watch it, okay? Watch it, like, as soon as you can. We need everybody on here needs to watch it before next week because we need to talk about it with the DVD.
Is it on YouTube
Dude, it's on YouTube. It's, like, several parts.
Yeah, several parts.
But,
that's what I thought.
Oh, my gosh. There is a holographic, I don't know how it is, performance by Jefferson Starship in it.
There is
a disturbing musical number from B. Arthur as the like cantina keeper, bartender, making all the drunk aliens leave, like saying it's like your last call and you've got a good night, my friends. Oh, dude, it is ridiculous. And the Wookiees.
Lumpy, lord, and scratchy, and
lumpy and itchy. Itchy is the grandfather. He is Chewbacca's father. Dude,
somehow
he didn't make it
on Kashyyyk in the movie.
It is an absolute travesty. And okay, my favorite moment, and I laugh so hard. Stephanie will attest to this. At the very end, when Chewie finally makes it home.
Yeah.
He and his wife, is his wife like Nala or Naga or
something like that?
Anyway,
Naga Hyde.
They make eye contact like across the room and it's like this long scene like showing her face and she's like, oh, and he's like, oh, and they're like, it keeps showing him back and forth and like they're totally just.
Are they in a field of wheat?
Their faces don't move. You know what I mean?
They're running
like
on the beach
no
and like the braids are like flapping in the wind.
Dude, it's like that, but totally standing still. And then finally they like embrace. It is hilarious.
All right, so Tommy, you and I tried to watch it like 10 years ago at the Deuce because I got it on video. The video quality was not good either.
You got it from eBay, didn't you?
I did. I got it from eBay for like $8 or whatever. Tommy, did you ever finish watching it?
Do you still have the DVD? I would hold on to
the VHS somewhere. I mean, it's a recorded tape.
Whatever the quality is, it's better than the YouTube version.
It's recorded tape, and the cover of the VHS case is like a photocopied like Star Wars.
That's cool,
you know,
man.
Did it on PowerPoint or whatever.
But there's rumors that there's going to be quite a bit of it as Easter eggs on the Blu-ray.
I
think just to throw a bone to the fans, he needs to give that to us. Yeah. Lucas does.
Yeah.
So,
he really
doesn't
give a crap about the fans, to be honest.
Well, that's the scariest part. Like, the scariest thing about it is, like, Harrison Ford is in it.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
He makes a total fool of himself in it.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill's in it. Like, he and Carrie Fisher in a little bit. But, dude, it is awful. Like, Harvey Korman is in it. Like, all these random comedy people are in it. Dude,
speaking of awesome, that's going to be Zookeeper. I finally saw Zookeeper this week, the Kevin James film. And you know what? It was what I thought it was going to be. It was cute. It was fun. I laughed. I cried. I had a moment. He plays Zookeeper Griffin, who is thinking about leaving his job to go to a car dealership, to like exotic cars or whatever, so he can win back his girl that he lost 5 years ago. And, of course, all the animals don't want him to leave, so they talk him into staying, and they literally talk him into staying. And you've got Sly Stallone playing the lion, and you've got Cher playing the lioness, and you've got Adam Sandler as the monkey, and Jim Brewer is in it. And
God, Jim Brewer, I haven't heard that name in
years.
Yeah,
Jim Brewer is in it. John Turturro is in it.
Did Jim Brewer play a goat by chance?
I think so.
That would have been hilarious if he did.
Maybe, I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
No, he was. I think he was the Oscar.
He was the AC/DC rock and roll singer guy. Exactly.
But no, it was. It was fun. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. Rosario Dawson, by the way, is growing on me. I was never a huge Rosario
Dawson. I liked
Dawson
her in Clerks too,
but I'm beginning to like her more and more, and the more stuff I see her in. So anyway, saw Zookeeper, and it was good.
What about Winnie the Pooh?
And I did see Winnie the Pooh, and Winnie the Pooh was absolutely wonderful.
Okay, that's what I've heard. I mean, critics loved it.
Yes, the Winnie the Pooh theme song.
Is that Zooey?
That's Zooey.
Oh, sweet.
She does the most. She does most of the music to this, and it's so good.
Oh, I'm gonna buy this on Blu-ray when it comes out. Oh, that song is. Oh, that's wonderful.
Let me just tell you about this movie, though. This movie, the two words I have for it are absolutely wonderful. I loved every second of this movie. And I think I talked about this movie earlier in the year, one of the first newscasts we did. And see, Winnie the Pooh has been relegated to this really cheesy, bad animated, bad storyline kids character on Disney afternoon.
Oh, yeah, it's like CG, isn't
it? And it sucks.
Yeah, it's bad CG.
And, like, Darby is there, who is, like, Christopher Robin's little sister.
Darby?
Yeah, she's awful. This takes us back to the 60s, where Winnie the Pooh was perfectly animated.
Darby.
And, I mean, the characters are great. The story is fun. Eeyore is great.
I'm so happy they did this movie.
Yeah, it really is really, really good. And I'm so happy we saw it. We saw it last night at the Dollar Theater. I'm going to buy it as soon as it comes down. I'm probably going to end up buying the soundtrack as well.
By the way,
Yul Houser, Danny Gould as Yul Houser has a scene.
Are you serious?
Does one of the voices.
As Yul Houser?
So great.
He does it as Yul?
He talks like this.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He talks. Danny Gould, of course, is a comedian. His alter ego is Yul Houser, who talks like this with an accent. And it's great. I cannot talk about this movie enough. If we did top three favorite movies of the year again, this movie might go in my top three.
Wow.
Loved it.
I predicted it last week.
That's
Dave.
Very interesting, yeah. that movie, with not as much fanfare,
right,
comes out in the summer, the same time as Cars 2.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know box office wise if it did better.
I think it did okay.
But I think.
No, it didn't do.
I think. Critically, it did better, definitely.
Oh, yeah, critically. I mean,
and the people that went to see it versus Cars 2 probably enjoyed it more than they did Cars 2.
I enjoyed this movie about 1,000 times more than Cars 2. This movie's
And this movie's only
like 65 minutes long, so it's not a real-time commitment. You should go see it at the Dollar Theater. I'd go with you, Michael.
I don't know if I have the time for that, but I'll definitely go buy it.
We
could
take your daughter, and we could be like a gay couple or something.
I did want my daughter to see that. I wanted that to be her first movie, but instead, it was not my choice. But instead, she
horrible saw bosses
the live action Charlotte's Web, which I hate. It's got
what the crap.
What was great?
I did
though,
not choose that.
What was great though is of course my wife Stephanie Leanne is 26 weeks pregnant. And the baby was kicking during this movie, and I feel like the baby could really hear the music.
Well, it's because Zooey was singing to her.
Probably, yeah. But there is some really good music in this. She doesn't, Michael. She doesn't do all.
Yeah,
the music,
this.
But she does some of it.
This movie did really well. Do you want to know what the domestic total?
It only did like $30 million.
Yeah, it didn't make
office,
much.
You know, if that.
$26 million.
Yeah.
Oof.
Budget was $30 million.
Well, that's not
it didn't
bad.
Even make its
then.
Budget.
That's not bad. But it'll make its budget back in Blu-ray sales.
Yeah, and I don't know.
But it's about it did about the same percentage wise as Cars did, but Cars made a lot overseas.
Yeah.
I mean, Cars was a
I don't know
pretty
how,
tremendous success in comparison to this.
I don't know how Winnie the Pooh did overseas. It probably did well in like England or whatever.
No, it did $6 million foreign.
That's
it was terrible.
That's not good.
But anyway,
yeah,
it's
I'm
traditional
it right
Disney
now.
Animation.
It's a better movie
and
by far,
it's,
though.
It's a great, great film.
You
I would
seen
say
it.
Take your kids.
I know, but my declaration is it is a better movie.
Take your kids to
just
see it.
Because Cars 2 Disney sucked.
No adults, go see it.
Cars 2 sucked.
Cars 2 is not good. But I'll tell you something that is good, and that's going to be Seagal.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have one, do
Seagal,
you?
Seagal. I do.
So that's a wrap on the newscast.
Right, okay, yeah, for real.
No, I do, but you know, like, you know, some weeks there's some really heavy Seagal news. Some weeks it's light. This week, the biggest Seagal news I was able to find is the martial arts teacher, who one of his main teachers actually received a special heart surgery and had his life saved by an experimental treatment, and that's it. And basically, his name is Sid Sophos, who was
one
of Seagal's main teachers, and he also taught Lennox Lewis.
Oh,
which is really random. Yeah. But
Sid Mofo is a good name to have.
Yeah, what a weird name, right? Anyway, that's Seagal Watch. Everything regarding Seagal is all revolving around the puppy death, you know, that we talked about last week.
Right.
He can't really get past that right now. And also there was something about who was his wife? Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah,
ex-wife. But she's made some random comments about not having any work done, which is like all the Us Weekly type websites and TMZs are talking about, like, who gives a crap? So I would rather stick to horrible news to reducing myself to that crap. So that gets us to the Seagal of the Week, and I'm choosing a little movie, came out in 2007, featuring Steven Seagal, Eddie Griffin, Carmen Serrano, and Corey Hart.
What?
That movie is Urban Justice.
Oh my gosh.
Urban Justice.
Corey Hart from the 80s? Like the singer Corey Hart?
Like Sunglasses at Night, Corey Hart?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think...
It can't be that.
I don't know. He's one of the featured people.
That would be awesome.
He's one of the featured people. But anyway, it is... terrible, of course. let me read you guys the description, just kind of in lieu of a little bit lackluster Seagal watch.
Please do.
Steven Seagal of Attack Force and Flight of Fury, two of his worst movies.
I like how they listed those movies.
Yeah.
I know. And Eddie Griffin, Deuce
Undercover
Bigelow,
Brother.
And Norbit. That's the one they list for him. star this no-holds-barred action crime thriller about a man with a dark and violent past who is out for revenge against the murderer of his son. Max Ballister is a street cop working in the heart of the poverty-stricken city who made the mistake of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Gunned down in the street in a senseless act of violence, his murder goes unsolved and the killer unidentified. When Simon Ballister, Seagal, a former government special ops agent, that's good because that's not an Interpol agent, learns of his son's murder, he soon moves into the very neighborhood where Max was killed in order to spend his days asking questions and cracking heads as he searches for the killer of his son. So this looks awesome. I'm sure that I've probably seen it because it's 2007, but I don't remember it well. So, and it looks like Danny Trejo is in it.
Yes.
Excellent.
Because right, on the cover, I'm pretty sure he is on the cover.
But he wasn't in the IMDb cast?
I'm not looking at IMDb.
Are you making a racial comment that all Mexicans look alike?
No, right, so, not Danny Trejo.
No,
you're right. I know that we end the show every week.
All the rest
Steven
might.
Seagal. But this is too important to pass up because posted at approximately 7 o'clock tonight on MSNBC, the headline says, Nick Cage, Naked Man Woke Me with a Fudgesicle.
What?
It says, from Toronto, where he's in, or where he's filming, where he's making the rounds with Trespass. It says, Cage, at the Toronto Film Festival, along with director Joel Schumacher, said he had actually lived through a nightmare in real life. At 2 in the morning, what Nicolas Cage says, I was living in Orange County at the time and was asleep with my wife. My 2-year-old at the time was in another room. I opened my eyes, and there was a naked man wearing my leather jacket eating a fudgesicle in front of my bed. I know it sounds funny, but it was horrifying.
Oh, my God.
The report also says that... I'm reading this
hallucinating, like Bad Lieutenant.
I'm reading this directly from the site. A fudgesicle, of course, is a frozen ice cream like snack.
Right.
Cage said the ordeal ended after he talked the man out of the house and the police arrived. He did not press charges as the man had mental problems. But Cage, who now lives in Nassau, Bahamas, said he could
wait, wait. Go back. Cage lives in the Bahamas now?
Who now lives in Nassau, Bahamas.
What the crap?
Said he could not stay in the house after that. And then the rest of the article goes on through about what trespass is all about. But anyway, I could not pass that up. Mention that real quick. Nick Cage, naked man with fudgesicle, woke me. That's on the MSNBC
website. You know why he lives in the Bahamas, don't you? So he can skip on taxes.
Of course.
What a jerk.
Hey, he pays his taxes angry. So that's a wrap on the show.
I don't blame him.
The Deucecast, episode 24, Tommy McLeod and the Podcast of the Phoenix. Thank you to Tommy and Sean, our faithful producers, and of course, thedeucecast.com. Go there, buy stuff, give us money, we need your help, tell a friend, because we're awesome. Twitter, Facebook, Stitcher, Ustream, and iTunes. That's where you can go.
That's right.
Drop us a note, of course, at thedeucecast.com. Tell us what you think. Join us next week, where a friend of the show, Hurricane Rhett, will pay us a visit. I'll be discussing the Music Minute, one of my favorite artists. We'll be on there, and we'll have a Great Buried Treasure. We're going to celebrate the release of Star Wars with a little simple Star Wars trivia, plus more stuff, Big Three and everything else coming up. You will find that and more on the Deucecast episode 25, Hurricane Rhett and the Half-Blood Podcast. I'm your host, Dave, saying hola, and I'm going to say goodbye to Matt.
You guys have a great week. Peace out.
And this is Mike, and you've just taken your weekly Black Hawk Deuce.
Good Lord, come.